Donut Bag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to the link listed in my Twitter profile. Okay, we are here for a funeral, not just of a team, but of a franchise. Thank you for coming. It meant so much to the Steelers. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here.
Right, yeah.
Not only is the Steelers season dead, but the franchise is dead. They're never going to win. They're never going to win another game again. The only way they're going to win a game, they're not going to win a game for the next, I'm going to say about 12, 13 years until the Steelers get Ben Roethlisberger's son to be the quarterback. And that's the only way. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger has to put a curse on the team or something. That's possible.
Heard people already say he should be coaching.
Right. Yeah.
Ben should be coaching the offense.
They should bring him back and then Randy Buechner.
And then why not?
Then we'll start winning.
Please.
Why not? Let's just start with that because that's what everybody's talking about. That's what everybody wants to do. Fire Canada. Folks, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
No, it's not happening. It's that's not what the Steelers do.
First of all.
Second of all, is that what you want for Kenny Pickett to say in the middle of your rookie season? Right. Hey, we're changing everything. Okay, everything. Good luck.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Blowing out of proportion those comments that Tomlin made in the press conference. You know, they're like, oh, this means, you know, he's standing by and keeping him, and that's Canada's his guy. And that's not exactly what Tomlin said. You know what I mean? He made a very Tomlinish comment and said that, you know, that obviously what you see in production is what really matters. You know what I mean? He's confident in his abilities, but you have to be confident in production, and he's not. And he'll do whatever he has to do to get winning results, but firing everybody isn't always the answer to that.
No. And we all know, you know, it's not going to happen. It's rare that the teams fire in season, you know, coordinators in season, let alone in this specific instance, like you said, Kenny Pickett's a rookie. The last thing they're going to do is pull the rug from under him. If he doesn't improve, obviously they're gonna fire him at the end of the year.
Right.
There's no way they're gonna keep him around for another painful year if he doesn't start to show some kind of, you know, improvement. You know, massive, you would think. It would have to be pretty significant for him to stick around next year.
Yeah.
As far as Tomlin goes in his press conferences, what he said was actually, it wasn't exactly an endorsement of Canada.
Right.
He basically said, listen.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he basically said it's based on results. And if the results aren't there, then changes are going to be made.
A lot of people who interpreted, you know, who only saw the like clickbait headline for that, you know what I mean? Which is, I'm highly confident in his abilities. There's a big difference between highly confident in abilities and highly confident in production. And in Mike Tomlin's own way, I thought he made that very clear that he was not necessarily happy with what's going on, but he's never going to throw his coaches under the bus. He's not going to sit there and badmouth, you know, coaches or players. He took the blame on himself, and he'll do that and then try to minimize the rest of it.
You know who else he was really confident in his abilities? Mitch Trubisky, right before he changed him out. So
I said that to somebody the other day.
Yeah. What he could do is not officially throw him to the unemployment line, but quietly demote him.
Mm-hmm.
That I could see happening.
I'd like to see somebody brought up to like assist, even if you brought in somebody else or some other coach, you know what I mean? And like Sullivan, and had him help support him and maybe improve things in that way. Maybe that's an option.
Right. And sort of to play devil's advocate a bit, like, maybe, you know, he's never coached at all, let alone he's never done anything in the NFL until he came to Pittsburgh. So like, maybe there's some kind of, I don't know, maybe there's some kind of learning curve, you know what I mean? Like, you know, for example, Kenny Pickett, like some people are going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, some fans are ripping him because he sucks, but a lot of people are going to give him the benefit of the doubt, give him time to develop. Like, maybe it's one of those things with coordinators too. Like, maybe he just needs And obviously, we don't want to see it because we're mm-hmm. patient, but maybe he just needs more time to kind of bring out, you know, the best in him or whatever.
And just because you're successful in college doesn't mean you're successful in the NFL. We've got a long string of college coaches that are highly productive in college and not productive in the NFL and vice versa. They're different systems.
Yeah. Yeah. We see it all the time. We see it all the time. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to college and then it's like
Nick Saban's one. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
But it's been a year and a half now. I'd say give him a few games, but it's been over a year now. And the only time that the Steelers office has been successful in the last two seasons is basically, and I think people are starting to say this quiet part out loud, Ben just said, screw it. I'm going to do my own thing. And that's the only and that's the only time. And really,
I think people had that blame reversed. Do you know what I mean? While Ben was playing, they were blaming Ben for what was going wrong when maybe it should have been, you know, giving him credit for what was going right.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, that team won as many games as it did and made the playoffs is a miracle. And
unbelievable.
And people are saying, it's not Tomlin. It's Ben. That's the only reason Tomlin was successful was because of Ben. Like, shut.
Right.
But speaking of Tomlin, at what point do you? I mean, let's say they do continue to lose. At what point do you say, "Hey, it's time to go"? As crazy as it sounds, that he's technically never had a losing season. But at what point? But also at the same time, they haven't won a playoff game in how many years now?
Eight years or something.
Right? At what point?
2011. But either way, it doesn't matter. It's been a long,
long time.
At what point do you say, you know, this isn't working? This isn't this. It's time to go. It would be. There's no way on earth you fire him after this season unless he kills a photographer or something like that, like Devontae Adams. But at some point you have to say, hey, this isn't working. And it's like, and we're not saying he's not a bad coach. We're just saying it's not working here anymore. It's kind of like Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Yeah. Obviously he's a good coach, but it was never going to work there and he had to go. So I don't know. How many years do you give Tomlin at this point if it continues to be bad?
Yeah. I mean, this would be unprecedented, you know, for the Rooney family to fire a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, so, or at least in these, you know, since Noel, you know what I mean? I think they fired some people before that, but it would be weird to see, but you know, sometimes you need change, you know what I mean? Sometimes you need to do something a little bit different than you're normally used to, just for the sake of getting better or trying to get better. So
right or just trying to keep up and stay relevant, you know what I mean? Coaching practices change. I'm not saying by any stretch that Tomlin doesn't kind of keep up with what's going on in today's NFL. I'm not saying that. I think he does try to, but I agree that sometimes you can get a little bit stagnant. Just be really surprised if they let him go. That's just, you're right. That's just not the way they do things typically. But I certainly think there's going to be some serious conversations if we totally just tank this whole season. Do you know what I mean? If we don't make some kind of steady turnaround in progress, I mean, you got to address it.
Yeah.
Are we there yet, though? Are things that bad?
No.
I don't think so.
You got to give Tomlin, this is his first time working without Ben Roethlisberger in his career. You know what I mean? Right. Like, not that Kenny Pickett's the problem, because I really don't think it is. You know what I mean? I feel like there's.
But there's a lot of change.
Yeah. There's a lot of change, and you know, you've got to, you know, give him some time for that. So.
Yeah.
If they did have Ben, they are right now probably 3-2. They probably beat New England and they definitely beat the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that does make a difference, but still.
But just think about the pressure that takes off of a coach to have a veteran like Ben, do you know what I mean? Or any veteran quarterback that's been with your team for a long time at the helm, that just takes so much pressure in some ways off one of the responsibilities of the coaching staff, when you can just trust your quarterback the way they were able to trust him. So not that Kenny is the problem at all, but it's definitely alters and changes the workload and the way you coach a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question.
Yeah. Another thing we have to consider is more than half the defense is hurt. It's not just TJ Watt. You're missing Weatherspoon, Trout Edmonds, Cam Sutton, Ogunjobi got hurt. Cam Hayward is playing hurt. He's not what he usually is. So, you know, it's like, and that happens to be the greatest offense on the planet right now in the Bills. So, you don't want to make excuses, but I mean, that's a lot of things to overcome. There's so many injuries. I mean, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually the top of the team is their depth. Right. So I think it goes to show too, that our depth isn't at all very good. If we continue, we just keep losing players and losing games because we don't have depth.
And Tomlin makes a point of saying in every press conference, about like that next man up idea and how, the next man up is supposed to be as good as the guy who was behind. He just didn't have as many opportunities and all of that. But the reality is we don't always function well with that next man up, because before the Bills game, everybody was talking about how the Bills defense was banged up as well. And people were making it sound like, this might be like a level the playing field a little bit and stuff like that, give our offense some opportunities. But when you look at the Bills, they have this very solid defensive scheme they built. And when a player is missing, the other players are able to come in and still operate in that same defense. It feels like we've built a defense around TJ Watt doing amazing things. And then when TJ Watt is missing, the defense falls apart, and it can't be that way. You need to build this solid defensive scheme first. And then TJ Watt is your takes you to this elite level when he plays. You know what I mean? He brings the wow factor or the extra factor in when he plays, instead of, it feels like we do it backwards. And when somebody's missing, everybody falls apart.
TJ, you're so right. TJ Watt can't be the Jenga piece. Can't be the entire freaking thing. Like, come on. What now? 0-8 without when he's
the
not playing?
The fact that we're even tweeting out about how we don't win when he plays is absurd. That's absurd that's like a real ongoing continuing conversation that we can't win without him.
Right, yeah. And something I read the other day, and I don't know if it's true, but somebody had written that the Bills, a lot of their players that they sat, they felt like they could sit and still beat Pittsburgh without.
And they were right.
Right, exactly. They would have played had it been a team that was maybe somewhat good. You know what I mean?
I think they knew their offense was going to be able to kill our secondary. Do you know what I mean? They knew it. They knew their offense was going to be able to score enough points to be really productive. Do you know what I mean? Your defense only has to be somewhat successful at that point.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
That's
embarrassing. I heard at one point they were thinking about bringing some of the kids in the stands to play against the Steelers. That's how confident they were.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the kids in the stands could run defense against our offense because we're so freaking predictable, with our run, third down pass garbage that anybody could run defense against us. There's
run nothing. and pass short of the sticks.
Right.
If it's short of the third stick, and five, we have to throw it 3 yards.
Yes. Or you're throwing some bomb for the end zone that's got no chance of making it when you only need to pick up a yard and a half.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, we're not building any kind of a balanced offensive scheme where we're helping to keep the defense off balance. I mean, other teams are able to do this. Somebody was saying to me earlier that when New England, I can't remember if it was the Super Bowl or the playoffs, but they went and put a wide receiver like DB and had him play and were successful and won that game. Do you know what I mean? Because they were able to shift around their personnel and be really successful. You know, you got to have these athletes on your team and then find ways to win. And it feels like when we don't have the right puzzle pieces in place, we're just like, we're just going to lose this game. Do you know what I mean? There's no winning now.
Well, the other problem with the offense is they can't run, and they can't run because something's wrong with Najee. Either he's hurt or he's not as good as we thought, but that's it's just not working. It's at this point, it should be 50-50 Najee Harris and Jalen Warren.
Yeah.
That's 100%. How it should be.
Yeah. He's saying that it's not injury related, which I think is interesting because it's like, you were the one who ended up actually coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd almost rather say it was injury related than have everybody think it's because I'm not as good as they thought I was. I mean, that's terrible. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather everybody thought it was related to an injury. Yeah. I don't know, but and I thought, some of this first started with him. I thought, all right, well, maybe he's not super confident in the O-line. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of issues with the O-line last season. So maybe he wasn't quite trusting them to block for him. And I think that some degree that's true, but it doesn't account for all of this.
Right. Because Jalen Warren comes in, not that he's Jerome Bettis, right. But Jalen Warren comes in and
picks up yards. Nas was doing this thing where he would like dance around to the outside and kind of dance around for a minute. And then he'd always get tackled for like a loss or right back at the line of scrimmage. And I have noticed like the last two games that he's gotten to just pick up what you can get. You know what I mean? Just go and pick up what you can get. And he's gotten a little better at that the past two games, but
yeah,
he definitely doesn't look like the Najee we had last year.
Yeah. Dancing around works when you have a better line because you're waiting for something to open up.
Yes.
But it doesn't really, it actually makes it worse for us.
No, for us, it makes it worse.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's already collapsing at that point. You've got to just get up, get whatever you can get.
Mm-hmm.
They're even playing Derek Watt, and it's not helping.
Yeah. I was like, who did they throw that to? I'm like, Derek Watt.
And I was like, who's that guy?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I would like to see him utilized more effectively. I think when we have used him, we've had some successful plays. I think it throws people off a little bit. They're so not used to seeing him involved.
I was going
to
say, it was throw the other team off. Like, who's that guy?
Right, where'd he come from? I thought Watt was hurt. Yeah. So I think it throws him off a little bit, but I think that we underutilize him. I don't even understand why he's on the team at this point.
Right.
And then this weekend we're looking at facing Connor Hayward as being our tight end one with Freiermuth and concussion protocol and Gentry hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit crazy. Yeah, there's really no tight end. That's gonna be weird. We'll maybe they'll have Chase Claypool out there, so he could be a bigger disappointment.
Right.
Pats, this is Freiermuth's third concussion in like 22 games.
That's scary.
That is. Yeah.
That's
young, dude. He just got started.
It's really scary.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Do they have a chance of beating the Tampa? I think so.
I do. I think there's a chance because they have been playing. Like Lan and I talked about on our podcast earlier, they haven't been playing all that great. You know what I mean? So I do think there's a chance. This isn't the New England Patriots, Tom Brady or Tom Brady's New England Patriots.
Right. Right. And our guest brought up that Tampa Bay historically has issues with rookie quarterbacks for whatever reason. I don't know if they underestimate them or what it is, but historically rookie quarterbacks have played Tampa Bay and have played well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always that weird statistic.
Right. Yeah.
The Steelers are our wounded animal and they got to be mad. At some point, you got to play for pride.
Yeah.
At some point, when you got absolutely smacked, as Tomlin said over and over again,
it's embarrassing.
You gotta respond. You're at home. There's no excuses.
Yeah. And I want to hope they channel this like in a productive, like fired up, motivating each other way, not in like a stupid penalty, angry, pushy, shovey way like sometimes teams do. Do you know what I mean? They've got to get some people on the team that are getting everybody fired up and holding each other accountable and helping motivate everybody. Like I thought even like the last home game that the crowd wasn't even that loud. I was kind of surprised, like because you're watching from home and it's hard to tell, but wasn't as loud as I expected them to be.
Yeah. They've got to use this. They've got it. This is their opportunity to show, hey man, like we're not just going to roll over and.
Right.
Because you've got to be able to come back from this. Because not only did they play horribly, but they've been crapped on by all the media and fans, and so they've got to, you know, not that they care if the media craps on them or even if the fans, you know, some players do, but
you say you don't care, but still, that's a real like morale knock. I mean, whether you're trying to tune it out or not, you're going to say whatever you have to say to.
They care, and they know. They know what people say about them, and they care a lot, and they just.
I agree with that.
You know.
I agree with that.
Like what Deontay said was about as like harsh as they could get, or as much as they could say. They want to say more. They're just not allowed. Like you know, when Najee said
they shouldn't be allowed to. They shouldn't be allowed to.
Right.
Yeah.
When Najee said that he was hurt, he probably got told by everyone in the organization, "Dude, shut up! Don't you ever say you're hurt again.
Right.
I don't care. I don't care if you had an arm or a leg amputated. Right. You do not say you're hurt.
Bones doesn't, sticking out of the skin. You say
You shut up about that. So So and even though he so badly wants to, even though he's people are saying, "Hey, you suck." It's like, dude, I suck because I'm hurt, but he's not allowed to say that. So it's extremely frustrating for him.
Yeah. But, you know, somebody said this to me the other day about how, you know, doesn't it drive me crazy that like Tomlin doesn't give like real answers at the press conference? Do you know what I mean? And dodges around things. And I always say to people, the press today do nothing good with an answer you give. So you might as well not bother answering them, because if you say, you know, there's some blame in this person or there's some frustrations with this player or coach, then it's going to be the next headline is Tomlin hates so-and-so, or Tomlin says so-and-so is hard to work with. Do you know what I mean? And all of these things get twisted around. And to me, it's it makes the drama that the media loves it, but I think it makes it even worse for the team. It's better to just let them, they're going to think whatever they want to think anyways.
It's just really subtle. It's really subtle what Tomlin does. And he does. Oh, yeah. He does send messages to the players, and he does send messages. They asked him last week. It's like, "Hey, Gunnar Olszewski is keep messing up. Is that a problem?" He's like, "Yeah, he's done." but he did say, it's a problem.
He said two out of four games. Do you know what I mean? With fumbles. I mean, he said that's a pattern now. That's not a mistake. And we're addressing that. I think that was pretty obvious, but I think for the most part, I mean, you're right. He does kind of speak in a little bit cryptically. And I think if you listen to him a lot or know enough about the Steelers, I don't think it's hard to figure out what he's trying to say, but I think they have to be careful how they say things, because everything just gets twisted around and that just makes things, to me, that just makes things even worse. It's so unproductive.
Did you see what the coach of Washington said? He's like, "So what's the problem? Why is your team so bad and the other teams in the NFC East so good?" He's like, "Yeah, our quarterback sucks." Like, dude, you just flat out threw your quarterback under the bus. He didn't say our quarterback sucks, but he did say, "What is the reason why your team is not so good and not so good compared to the other teams?" He said quarterback.
And how does your quarterback ever come back for that? How does he ever come back and play for you? And Washington has a history of doing this stuff to their quarterbacks. He's not the first coach to crap all over his quarterback in Washington. It's what they do. The organization from the leadership down is a train wreck.
Yeah. So as Tomlin put it, you're not going to shoot a hostage. You're not going to, you know, maybe he should. Maybe. That would be a really interesting. What if he shot a reporter? Oh my goodness.
Oh, can we pick who it is?
I know who you're going to pick. I know who all of Pittsburgh is going to pick, but he doesn't show up to the press conferences. But anyway,
he's not a reporter.
He's not allowed.
He's not a reporter.
That would be,
that
would be amazing. Like, not really shooting, but like a fake gun. Just like, you know, "I'm tired of those questions. I'm tired of you."
Like a paintball gun.
Right. Yeah. Anybody else want to ask me any other questions? This has to be it. This has to be, maybe it's still early. You could still recover from 1-4 if you rattle off some wins, but I don't think you could recover from 1-5 if it's happened before. Yeah. So,
this isn't that team, though. I keep saying that this is not that team of, what was that, 2014 or 13 or whatever it was. Right. This is not that same team.
Can you survive 1-4? It was 2019. Are you talking about when they started 1-4?
There was a time where they started 0-4.
2013, they were 0-4. In 2019, they were 1-4. And both of them, they came back and were over 500.
Yeah.
But this 0-4 team is not that 0-4 team.
Oh, that's why people are saying bring back Todd Haley.
Right.
Todd Haley. When Todd Haley was the coordinator, they had like the number one
but
offense.
But they all do this. All the fans do this. Do you know what I mean? And then they're mooning over whoever used to be there. But when Todd Haley was the offensive coordinator, they all hated him too. Right. They hate everybody.
Hated him. It was the same thing. The same thing they're doing to Matt Canada. They did to Todd Haley back then. Hated every single him. One. Well, they hated him because Ben hated him. Ben made it very obvious.
Ben made it pretty clear.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it like in interviews, Ben was like, hey, everybody, I want you to hate on Todd Haley. Just,
yeah.
It's all his fault.
Whatever. It's Todd's fault.
It's yeah.
Todd's fault.
But it's, oh, the Steelers offense was so good back then. You had Ben in his prime, Antonio Brown, non crazy to Antonio Brown, and non crazy Le'Veon Bell. Of course, your offense is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't even think Todd Haley did anything. I don't even think he drew up any plays. He probably just slept
probably
all week.
Probably didn't have to.
Yeah,
it's a different team.
Real hard to run that offense.
They don't think that means though that there isn't hope to turn it around. And I'm not trying to turn this into some conversation where we're going to magically make the playoffs and all of this year. I don't think that's our destiny. And I know that the Steelers shy away from that idea of like a rebuilding season or calling this any kind of a rebuild or whatever. It doesn't really matter what you call it. It's still going to be the same thing. But I think if we could see positive progression, of change and things improving, through the season, then at least you feel like you're going into next season, with some hope that they built on something solid, this solid foundation of young players they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then look to the draft to replace or shore up those weak areas, those fundamentals, like the line on both offense and defense.
They'll be drafted number one overall. We could get lots of good picks that way.
Get a new quarterback
so you can back up Kenny Pickett.
Right, that's the last thing we need.
But speaking of Kenny, he looked okay. For his first start,
he played really well. Actually,
he did all right. Need to work on the inside the 20, but still, for a first start against a good defense, that's pretty good.
I thought he looked mature. He stood upright in the pocket. He wasn't anxious or scared or skittish looking. Even under pressure, he was able to deliver some pretty accurate passes. And I thought it was like without the win, I thought it was about as good as we could hope for from him. Is there room to improve? Sure. But that's a really tough defense. And he's doing it without a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when rookies are out there, they look like they've never played football before.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know the plays. They're looking around. They're running out on the clock. It's just all a mess. But he looked very poised. Looked
mature. Yeah. He looked like he'd been there before.
And then the Bills decided to start taking a bunch of cheap shots, and he just smacked them back. Like,
that was awesome. Yeah. I mean, the fact that was awesome. It wasn't awesome that Shaq Lawson went for his knee, but just his response.
His response was awesome.
He got up and he shoved him. Was just like, all right, Kenny, like, that's
right.
That's great. You know what I mean? Like, it shows, the kind of grit that he has. You know what I mean?
Well, like, they say he's like a real trash talker, and I freaking love that. Like, they said he talks trash to everybody, like even Coach Tomlin and like other players. You know what I mean? It's just kind of his persona that he's like that. And I sort of love that. I love that grit and that, like, intensity and passion. Yeah, I love it.
It's very Pittsburgh Steelers-y.
It's very Pittsburgh. Yeah, that, I really like it.
That Jets game when he came in and the pass to Freiermuth where he got smacked by that Jets guy. He got smacked. He still rattled off the pass and it was a completion. And just even though he got hit hard, he just looked up back at the guy and smiled.
Popped right
love
up.
Love that.
Yeah. Yes,
board going out of there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know you can only do that for so long, but I really do. I love the passion that he's got. I think it's going to go a long way.
Yeah.
All right. So Yins have a podcast of your own. What are you guys talking about on your podcast?
Steelers, shockingly enough.
Right, yeah, the Steelers. Yeah, we had our producer, the guy who produces the show, he covers the Bucks here in Tampa for his own podcast. So we figured he was like the perfect guest to have on because, you know, we had a better perspective on the Bucks than somebody who covers the Bucks. Plus, he knows football, you know what I mean? So he got a lot. You know, he gave us his opinion on the Steelers, you know, what they kind of need to do to turn
what does he think about the Bucks this year? Because honestly, they don't look that as strong as last year.
Yeah. He still thinks that they're, you know, the Bucks are going to win, and that might be just, you know, the fan of him, like we, you know, like we think they could win, you know, as well. But yeah, he knows, you know, that it's nearing the end, you know what I mean, of the Tom Brady era.
Yeah, we talked a little about that today, you know, what it's like to find out Tom Brady's going to be your new quarterback and, you know, all of those kinds of things. Yeah, it's fun.
That had to be crazy for any fans. Like, oh, hey, you just got the best quarterback of all time.
Right. Well, he said, and too, like you have mixed feelings because, you know, you've despised him and the Patriots for all this time and the way they just dominate everything. And you spent all these years being angry at him, and all of a sudden he's on your team and you're like, wait a minute, I don't, with all these mixed emotions, I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah. So it's called House of Yinzer, and you can find it on YouTube, you know, searching House of Yinzer. But if you follow us on Twitter at Steelers Yinzer, that's kind of the easiest way, you know.
Yeah.
And your podcast is way more better produced than mine, definitely. I'm just rocking here with a Zoom call. That's it.
Yeah.
Thank Blake for his amazing skills.
Right. If Leanne and I were producing it, there would be no intro.
Yeah, it would be like a recorded Skype call between the two of us. I don't even know if I know how to do that. Yeah, no, Blake is an amazing producer. He does a great job. He knows all the techie stuff that we don't know how to do.
Does anyone have, is Giselle on Twitter? Can we get, or can I Instagram her or something like that? Can we get her to show up at Acupuncture Stadium and rock a Steelers jersey? Or
she does actually have a Twitter. Yeah.
Ooh, Giselle official. Ooh. I'm gonna ask her. I mean, I'm kind of a big deal on Twitter. I can.
You are.
Her DMs open though. I mean, probably not.
Her DMs are shockingly not open.
What?
I can't imagine with the DMs that I get why she wouldn't like to be on receiving end of some of those delightful DMs.
Bunch of dudes saying, "Oh, hey, girl, I heard you're available again."
Right. You're on the market. I'm on the market.
There you go.
Let's make it happen.
Are the Jets on the bye? Maybe we could get her and Zach Wilson to show up at the stadium.
Oh, he's a cute boy. That would be nice.
He's cute.
Cougar.
No, the Jets play this week. He's busy.
I heard, since you brought up the Jets, I couldn't figure out how to segue into this, but since you brought it up, now I'm going to say it. I heard the most amazing statistic today when I was watching ESPN, that for the first time, the Jets are having a winning season at 3-2. This is the first time they've had a winning season since 2018 when they were 1-0. How crazy is that?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
So
and
I was
like, and here we are, like complaining about Mike Tomlin not making the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah. Right. That's how
Jets fans are like flying high right now. I've got a good fan who's a Jets fan. She feels like, you know, like they're like already won the Super Bowl. She's so happy with how well they're playing.
If you're still a Jets fan, you deserve like government assistance, you deserve compensation, you deserve something. It's easy to be a fan of a team that wins all the time, but to be a fan that loses, not only do they lose every year, they got like the number one pick every single year. They're so bad
and still lose. Yeah, I've said that about Browns for years.
That's the thing that drives me nuts about Steelers fans right now. They're allowed to be bad. Teams get bad.
It's cyclical. It's always cyclical.
Yeah.
That the Steelers have been good. That the Steelers have been good for this long is amazing. There's no, listen, I talk to God. I know that they think we have a God-given right to be in the playoffs every year and win the Super Bowl. We've won more Super Bowls than anybody else, first of all. Yeah. And still you complain because it hasn't happened in the last few years. Oh, cry me a river. Look at the Jets. The Jets have Joe Namath.
Right.
That's it. They got Joe Namath. Joe Namath. I wasn't alive yet. I'll bet either of you two weren't alive yet for Joe freaking Namath. That was 1969.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
53 years. 53 years.
It's a long time.
And we're complaining about 2018. My goodness.
There's plenty of teams that have never won a Super Bowl that don't tend to have winning seasons. Do you know what I mean? Or frequently have losing seasons. It's not uncommon. There's just so many variables that go into winning in the NFL. You know, there's a luck factor. There's a strength of schedule factor. There's random injuries and illnesses and acts of God, things you just can't control. And I don't know. It's supposed to be fun. People are not fun.
Right.
No. I tell you what, they are going to jump off the bandwagon like you won't believe. If they lose this game, and I'll bet you even this game, it's probably only going to be like three quarters full. I'll bet already people have given up.
Wow.
That's really sad. You think you're a real fan? Please. Mm-hmm. Oh no. Oh no. They're not undefeated. Oh no. I quit. Come on.
Right. Yeah. We've sat through some disappointing seasons in our lives and you know, just have. I mean, it's part of being a football fan. And I just have always felt blessed that the Steelers are as good as they are and as productive and always managed to stay relevant and keep a somewhat strong team. So we're always in the conversation, you know. Yeah. If this is the price we pay to have another 18 years of pretty solid football and a Super Bowl or two, then that's fine.
Exactly. Yeah, because even in Bill Cowher's worst days, like, I remember being very upset for many Sundays, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Cowher had some down seasons.
Oh, yeah.
I still stuck around. Like, these fans, you know, the people that call themselves fans these days are just...
Yeah. It's never occurred to me to jump teams.
Right.
Yeah. I had a restaurant, and when the Steelers were good, you could forget about when it was game time, you could forget about it. Nobody came to the restaurant. Nobody went anywhere. Everybody was watching the game.
But when
they were bad, then it's like life was normal and people would just ignore them. Like, come on.
Wow.
Don't be like that. Don't be a bandwagon fan. Don't be a fair weather fan.
Right. Yeah.
Allison, is that a cat?
Where?
I just saw a cat walk by.
Probably. Yeah, I have cats.
Okay.
It was a cat. Yeah.
Just either that or a demon sneaking up behind you.
I heard there were sharks in the streets of Florida, so I don't know. Maybe
that's the truth. Fort Myers.
Maybe some kind of alligator snuck in or something like that.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you. I feel better. Thank you for coming. This was... It meant so much to the Steelers you could come.
My deepest sympathies.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.